represent about 35 911 agencies throughout the state of Illinois. I'm the attorney for the Illinois chapter of the National Emergency Number Association, the Illinois chapter of the Associated Public Communications Officials, APCO, and I am general counsel to the National Emergency Number Association headquartered in Washington, D.C. I represent the Kankakee County 911 Board. I represent the Will County 911 Board, the King County 911 Board, the Cook County 911 Board, all as appointed special assistant state's attorney in each of those counties representing their 911 boards. My purpose in coming down tonight is to talk a little bit about some of the issues that have recently been brought to light here in Iroquois County and try to give you some understanding of the basis of the laws that govern both the 911 system and the dispatch system. First and foremost, I want to speak to an issue that has made some problem here today as to whether or not this is a legal meeting. It is, in fact, a legal meeting. The Open Meetings Act requires that notice of the meeting be posted at the public at the office of the public body. Public body is the ETSB or ICOM. The notice was posted. It also says it should be posted at the location where the meeting is held. Well, the meeting's being held in this building, same as the ETSB. So there is no issue that this meeting is an illegal meeting. So people who may have said that or cast those aspersions or questioned your presence here tonight as being participant in an illegal meeting, it's simply not the case. I want to start out talking a little bit about the Emergency Telephone System Act. Back in 1979 or 1980, the state of Illinois adopted 911 as the universal emergency service number. Sometime after that, the state adopted the Emergency Telephone System Act. And what the Emergency Telephone System Act did was to allow local communities, such as Iroquois County, to set up their own 911 system. The license to operate your 911 system is given to you by the Illinois Commerce Commission, but everything else is run on a local basis. And that was the intention of this statute. There was never any intention that that your 911 system was to be run out of Springfield or Chicago or anywhere else. It was to be run here in Iroquois County. And your residents, through a referendum, established your surcharge of $2 per wireline phone to support your 911 system. And other counties did the same. And some cities and villages have their own ETSBs. Now, it is kind of a complicated system to understand because as a local entity, you're created by both statute, that is the ETSB is created by statute, and by county ordinance. So when your county, when Iroquois County ran the referendum and the referendum passed, the law says that the county then had to create an emergency telephone system board. And that board has responsibilities that are outlined in the statute. Among those responsibilities is to collect the surcharge and, importantly, spend the surcharge. The Illinois Attorney General, in an opinion written in the mid-90s, has said that a county-created ETSB, like your ETSB, is a creature of county government. It's part of county government. Now, it may be part of county government, but it is not county government. Unlike county government, the ETSB is the only body that has the authority to spend surcharge money. The county can't spend it. The sheriff can't spend it. The coroner can't spend it. The county board can't spend it. Only the ETSB. So in that respect, it's much different than any other county agency. For instance, the sheriff's office, by statute, the county board must fund the sheriff's office. And also by statute, the county board cannot interfere with the operation of the sheriff's office. So the county board can give the sheriff money, but they can't tell him how to spend it. But the sheriff can't spend money on his own. He hasn't got any money to spend. It's got to come from the county. That's different with the 911 board. And the same is true with the rest of your county offices, whether it's the recorder, the assessor, the coroner, whoever it is. They all get their money through the county. The ETSB does not. And that's an important distinction to remember. That's why the ETSB needs to have some independent authority to spend that money. Now, the statute specifically defines what the ETSB can spend their money on. And the general rule as to what the ETSB can spend their money on, they can hire employees, they can pay dispatchers, but they can't pay all dispatch salaries, and I'll talk about that more in a little detail when I talk about the dispatch side of the house. They can pay for addressing, they can pay for the establishment of the 911 system, and importantly, they can pay for things that maintain, upgrade, or continue the 911 system here in Iroquois County. That's all they can spend the money on. They can't buy police cars, they can't buy fire engines, they can't help pay for radios. The state statute was amended to allow that a number of years ago. But that's what the ETSB is in place for. After the state had the wireline surcharge, which was adopted here locally by referendum, in the early to mid-1990s, when cell phones became so popular, the we went back to the state of Illinois to get them to put a surcharge on wireless or cell phones. That surcharge is not collected locally. It's collected in Springfield through the Illinois Commerce Commission and then distributed by zip code to various areas of the state where the cell phones reside. That amount of money, until very recently, and I'll talk about the changes in the law a little later, but until very recently, that was 57 cents out of 75 cents that's on every cell phone in Illinois. And that 57 cents also comes to the ETSB. And like the wireline surcharge, again, the ETSB is the only body that can spend that money. Now let's talk about what is a 911 system. The Emergency Telephone System Act defines a 911 system in this way. It says it is the receipt and distribution of calls for emergency services. So we've got two things. We take the calls in, we distribute them out. But the ETSB is not a dispatch agency. From some of the things that I have seen that have been written and some of the comments that I've heard, I think there is a misunderstanding among some people that, in fact, the ETSB is also dispatch. It's not. Again, back in 1997, the Illinois Attorney General wrote an advisory opinion, and please understand about Illinois Attorney General's opinions. They're all advisory. They do not have the force of law. If you were in court, a judge would look at them, but a judge is not bound by an opinion of the Illinois Attorney General. But back in 1997, the Illinois Attorney General had a question as to whether or not 911 surcharge funds could be used to pay dispatchers. And the Illinois Attorney General wrote that they could, but only based on some percentage of how much 911 work those dispatchers did. So if they're dispatching police and fire units, if they're doing records work, if they're handling non-emergency administrative lines, that can't be paid for with 911 funds. The principle behind this is this. The 911 Act provides for a 911 system, so we have to have the technology to get the 911 calls here to your dispatch center or to your 911 center. And that technology today is copper wire coming either from the end office or from wireless towers to the end office to here. It comes in on 911 physical trunks. Now, in the future, that's going to change. In what's termed next generation 911, those calls are probably going to come into your dispatch centers or your 911 centers by fiber and broadband, by internet connection. But right now, it's all copper wire. So we've got to get the copper wire to the building here. We've got to have the equipment to answer that call, to send that call down to Indianapolis, Indiana, where a database is sampled to get the address and telephone number of the caller and bring it back here for dispatch. That is the responsibility of the 911 system. That is the responsibility of the Emergency Telephone System Board, to pay for the equipment to do that, whether it's cost of the phone lines from the phone company to get the calls from the end office to here, whether it's the telephone answering equipment, sometimes called customer premise equipment, CPE, which is the equipment here in the building that physically picks up the 911 call and delivers the ANI automatic number identification or ALI automatic location identification information to your dispatch center. The ETSB has the responsibility to pay for all of that. That's the 911 system. If we were to divorce 911 and dispatch, and we just had a 911 person answering the phone, 911, what is your emergency? Fine, I'm going to transfer you to the Iroquois County Sheriff or to the Watseka Police Department or to any one of your local fire protection districts. And not dispatch the call. Then it would be up to all of you to dispatch the call. Fire protection districts, city, county, you've got to dispatch the call. You've got to get that call out to your field units, police cars, EMS vehicles, or fire engines. So that answering that 911 call has a cost. And if you figure that cost is 24 hours a day, because we have to answer 911 calls 24 hours a day, then the need, typically in the industry, it takes 5 people to fill one 24-hour-a-day slot. So if I, for 365 days, have a 24-hour-a-day operation, I need 5 people to fill that chair 24 hours a day when you include days off and things like that. So at the very least, there should be 5 salaries that surcharge funds can pay for. Over and above that is up to the ETSB and your dispatch authority to work out. Now, those salaries could be anybody's salaries. If the sheriff was running a dispatch center, and in some counties, the sheriff runs the dispatch center and dispatches for everybody. I believe that's... Livingston County, I think, is how they're doing that now. They had LiveCom down there, but I believe the sheriff has now taken over the dispatch down there. The sheriff could ask 4 or 5 salaries. Up in Cook County, that's exactly what the Cook County Sheriff does. The Cook County Sheriff answers the 911 calls and dispatches, and the ETSB up in Cook County gives the sheriff a certain amount of money every year to pay for dispatch salaries. It's not all of the salaries, and it can't be all of the salaries. It's some of the salaries. So now, if we don't have a true 911 center, if we don't have a true a center solely devoted to answering 911 calls, then how do we get this job done? We've got to answer the call and get it out to all of you first responders. So what you did here in Iroquois County then was to form a consolidated dispatch agency known as ICOM. ICOM is separate and apart from the Emergency Telephone System Board. ICOM's mission was to provide dispatch, public safety dispatch, for all of you first responders, sheriff, city of Waseca, other cities, fire protection districts. And I think some of the confusion, at least some of the confusion that I've read, is the confusion as to what the role of the ETSB is and what the role of ICOM is. Now, talk about ICOM for a minute. ICOM is what is known as a unit of intergovernmental cooperation. Back in 1970, when the state of Illinois rewrote the Illinois Constitution, the Constitutional Convention included in the Illinois Constitution, Article 10, Section 7, specific language to encourage units of local government, fire protection districts, cities, villages, counties, library districts, school districts, to cooperate amongst yourselves for the citizen's advantage, whether it's to save money, to provide better service, or all of that. After the Constitution was adopted, the legislature then passed a statute called the Intergovernmental Cooperation Act. And that act says that units of local government can enter into contracts to share their services and powers. And that's exactly what you did when you formed ICOM. The city, the county, the ETSB, all units of local government entered into a contract, an intergovernmental agreement, to establish a dispatch authority. This is the model that is in most jurisdictions today, the consolidated dispatch authority. This is what the state of Illinois is pushing towards, consolidating dispatch. It makes sense. It saves money. It's better for public coordination of public safety. Having all of your dispatchers located in one facility is going to help when you've got calls where perhaps the sheriff's responding, the city's responding, and some or another of your local fire protection districts are responding. It's all being managed in one place. Consolidated dispatch is what has been encouraged. The state of Maine, by law, the Maine legislature passed a law that says the state of Maine can have only two dispatch centers in the whole state. The state of Washington has passed a law that is consolidating dispatch, limiting the number. The state of Indiana has recently passed a law to limit the number of dispatch centers. And as we move towards next generation with broadband fiber, it's going to be even easier to consolidate dispatch centers. We don't have to worry about the copper wire coming from the end office getting to your dispatch center. So a consolidated dispatch center that you formed 10, 12 years ago is exactly what you should have done. Now the question comes, what powers does the ICOM have as a unit of intergovernmental cooperation? Some of you may have heard the term Dillon's Rule talked about. Dillon's Rule is a theory of the use of government law. And what Dillon's Rule says is units of government, and whether it's a county, a city, a fire protection district, a library district, a school district, they're all units of government, have only those powers that are granted by law, by statute, or are reasonably inferred from that statute. The Intergovernmental Cooperation Act says units of local government can share their governmental powers and place those powers in a single agency. So, for instance, ICOM. ICOM doesn't have any power all by itself. Any power that ICOM has, it got from the city, the county, and the ETSB when it was formed. The city, the county, the ETSB all have the power to contract, to enter into contracts, whether it's to buy things or to hire people or to do other missions of government, you can enter into contracts. So when ICOM was formed, that power was transferred from the city, the county, and the ETSB to the ICOM board. The ICOM board could then enter into contracts, and whether those contracts were to buy equipment for the dispatch center or as what happened several years ago when the dispatch contracts were entered into, they could enter into those types of contracts. So again, the idea that's being discussed that somehow ICOM doesn't have those powers is simply wrong. ICOM has those powers. That's what the state of Illinois has encouraged government to do. There are all kinds of units of intergovernmental cooperation functioning in this state. More and more we're seeing units of intergovernmental cooperation handling water functions. We've got multiple jurisdictions with water resources. We share them with other agencies. Fire departments have automatic aid agreements. MAVIS is essentially an intergovernmental cooperation. It happens all the time. There has been some questions raised as to whether or not ICOM was validly formed. And ICOM was formed originally in 2002 by agreement between the county, the city, and the ETSB. As far as we know, that agreement was promptly ratified by all three, and ICOM began to operate. In 2011, at the time of the contracts, the ICOM agreement was rewritten. And it's my understanding that at that time, while the county did not formally adopt the change in the ICOM agreement, the county did continue to function as a member of ICOM. They paid their fees, they received dispatch services, and they participated on the ICOM board. So while the argument that some are making that the county had never participated in ICOM may be technically true, the fact is the county ratified, approved the actions of ICOM by being a part of it, by taking its services, by paying its money, and importantly, by being represented on the ICOM board. So ICOM has the authority then to enter into contracts. So let's talk about the contracts with all of your largely fire protection districts. I know we have some with the hospital. Do we have any other police agencies besides? Initially, ICOM was funded by participation by the ETSB, the county, and the city of Watsika. At some point in time, that burden became heavy for all three of those, so it was determined to seek funding by all of the other people who are provided the dispatch service. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've watched the maturation of this dispatch process. And many of you looking around this room have probably been doing this even longer. And you all remember days when we didn't pay for dispatch. But those days are over. Everybody is paying for dispatch. Like I said, I represent about 30 or 35 of these consolidated dispatch agencies. I can tell you there's a dispatch agency up in Chicago that dispatches only for fire departments. They dispatch for, I think it's 16 or 17 fire departments today. Each fire department gets charged $75 per call for dispatch service. Now, I represent another agency where the fire departments get charged $30 per call for dispatch service. So there's a wide variance, but everybody's paying for dispatch service. The ETSB contributes money to the dispatch in terms of the equipment they buy for the dispatch center. And that's their responsibility. That 911 call handling equipment, the ETSB has to provide it. That's their job. But the radios, the salaries of the dispatchers, other than what the ETSB might contribute, those have to be paid by the users of the system. The most common way to fund these is on a per call or on some kind of service-based measure. So that if I have a fire protection district and I only run 50 or 100 calls a year, I'm not going to pay as much as the city of Waseca or Iroquois County for dispatch service. I'm not using it as much. And that was the principle that underlied the formation of these contracts and these contracts being extended to all of you to provide dispatch service. And I understand that system is being questioned. Again, in my experience, all of you, from the smallest fire protection district up to the county or the city, have to have dispatch service. You can have all of the firefighters and all of the equipment and all of the knowledge and training that you want, but if nobody's there to send you out, how are you going to get to the calls? And I can tell you that it is far cheaper to have a centralized dispatch facility like ICOM than it is for each of you to have a dispatch center in your individual agency. Even the city, and the mayor and I have had these discussions, even the city recognizes that there's a savings for the city, even based on what they were paying for dispatch service as if they had to do it themselves. If they had to do it themselves, they have to hire at least 5 employees. They have to pay for the equipment. Now, maybe the ETSB would contribute some of that equipment. Again, that would be dependent upon what the ETSB wanted to do. But the city would have a tremendous expense, and the same is true for the county. The sheriff, if ICOM folds, if ICOM goes away, all of you are going to have dispatch service from somewhere. Now, if the sheriff determines that he's going to provide dispatch service, then the sheriff is going to have to take on all of the expense of providing that dispatch service. And if he's going to provide that service to others outside of the sheriff's department or outside of Iroquois County entities, then I'm sure that you're going to have to be charged for it. The sheriff isn't going to dispatch fire departments for nothing. Can't afford to. The same as ICOM. So ultimately, and I understand there are some discussions at the county board level as to how to reformulate ICOM, or to do away with ICOM and put something, and I'm not sure what, in its place. And those discussions are fine. Every entity matures. Every consolidated agency that I represent, that I work with, is always examining itself to see if they can do it better. And if there's a better way of doing it, God bless, let's do it. But bottom line is, tomorrow, the next day, next month, and next year, we've got to have somebody sitting behind those radios, answering those phones, and putting the calls out to all of you. And from my experience and from my vantage point, that is best accomplished by a consolidated dispatch agency. And in that dispatch agency, you can formulate that dispatch agency any way you want. ICOM was formed by the ETSB, the county, and the city, and then later took on contract members, that is, all of your agencies as part of ICON. And that's probably, I'd say probably 75% of the consolidated dispatch agencies work in that manner. Now, up in Kankakee County, the ETSB actually oversees dispatch also. But in Kankakee County, they physically combined the City of Kankakee Dispatch, Fire and Police, and the Kankakee County Dispatch. In November of 2001, they brought both of those dispatch centers together and combined them in the Kankakee County Communications, that is overseen by their ETSB. The ETSB can oversee a dispatch center. It is not illegal, it is not improper. But CANCOM, Kankakee County, also gets funding from the agencies it dispatches. It gets funding from, as you do, from the ETSB. It gets funding from Kankakee County. It gets funding from the City of Kankakee. And it gets funding from its other member agencies. And they have some contract agencies. They have contracts with their hospitals up there, much as you do here. Other formulas, some places, the DUCOM, which is the single biggest consolidated dispatch center outside of the City of Chicago, up in DuPage County, has dispatches for 39 police and fire agencies. And they have a board that is made up of representatives of their member agencies, but then they have a chief's committee of police chiefs and a chief's committee of fire chiefs to help run operations. And they apportion their calls for fire, they apportion their calls on the basis of population and number of calls. For police service, they apportion their calls on the number of police officers in the agency. There are many, many ways to figure out contract costs for dispatch services. And I don't know that my job here tonight is to suggest a way to do it. Number one, we have to understand that the ETSB and ICOM are two separate entities. The ETSB needs to continue because the voters of your county adopted it by referendum, and it's my opinion that the only way the ETSB could go away would be the voters would have to, by referendum, disband the ETSB. ICOM, a creature of intergovernmental cooperation that shares the power of its members, I think needs to be your consolidated dispatch oversight authority. Now, if you want to reformulate ICOM, if you want to change things, if you want to change the name, if you want to put it all under the sheriff or put it all under the city, those are decisions all of you have to make. You have to make those decisions based on what's going to be best for your individual agency. Some of you here are officials with a fire protection district or some other entity of government. You've got to make the decisions that are best for your individual taxpayers and citizens. But bottom line, for public safety in Iroquois County, you need to have a centralized dispatch authority. Now, let me talk for a few minutes about some changes in Illinois law. What's now known as Public Act 98-634 was signed into law by the governor within the last 2 weeks. Law has made some changes.